of the hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It is Friday. It is 8:37 on News Radio 92.3. That means that I have a couple of friends here in studio with me. And when I say friends, I mean it. Even though, oh, thank you. It's always good when they say it back to you. Myra Van Hoos, who has been on several times before, she is the interim executive director at Achieve Escambia. She is also on the board of the Equity Project Alliance, and she is just as of Wednesday.
Yeah.
A filed candidate to run for the Board of County Commissioners District 4 in Escambia County as a Democrat. And that's why I love to celebrate being friends with you, because I love to be friends with people who disagree with me on stuff. Welcome back to the wrap.
Thank you very much. And I don't disagree with you on everything.
Oh, well, that's
good. You know, there's also a caveat about how you file these days due to our governor. So I might not be exactly party politic driven.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. Explain more. I feel like there is more to that.
I'm just saying that I think it's really important to talk about platform and not focus on parties anymore.
Sure.
Parties
are
divisive. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
Jenna,
I appreciate that. And we'll get into that in just a second. Because it's funny. I booked you for this like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I know.
And then you filed. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Cool. I see what you did there.
Coincidental, but awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll take it. Larry Johnson, by the way, who is the owner of the Azalea, the Z, and a former city councilman for 10 years. Is that right?
Two and a half terms. Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Good to have you, Larry. So we're filing deadline is today, right? Noon.
That's
correct. We will actually know at, 1 o'clock, whatever. We'll know who all the candidates are. And there's a lot of last-minute changes. You know, we had Skip Orth in District 3. Unfortunately, very sad news about his wife being ill, and so he's dropped out of the race now. Looks like it's a two-person race. Very interesting race, by the way. But also, you know, here in Escambia County, we're seeing suddenly people file and drop filings. And I think in District 2, I think Alex Andrade earlier today was the only one who's actually qualified, even though there's four other people, including Greg Litton, who have, they're active but not qualified.
Pre-filed.
So we'll see where everybody goes. One thing about you is you won't be probably on these boards much longer.
Right.
As a candidate, right?
All my charity work that I work for, 501c3s, I'm going to have to help them from afar now.
Right. I did want to ask you something, though. You were telling me when we were chatting off the air before the show, Juneteenth, of course, is Sunday. And
and also Father's Day.
Very good. Exactly.
Father's
Same
Day,
day
right.
this year, right?
So I wanted to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, especially ones that are active in their children's lives. And as you are, Andrew, and you do a tremendous job as a father, because they need to be recognized. And so just want to say happy Father's Day to all
of them. Can I also say this?
Sure.
Every father that I know thinks they could do better.
Right.
Just like every mother
every
I know. Every
right.
parent. You know, and it kind of like it's the person who thinks, no, man, I am awesome. Those are the ones that worry me.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Like, well, there's so much absentee, fathers out there that that I see being a single man and dating different ladies. It depresses me that the fathers that aren't involved in their kids' lives.
Right. So we should do a shout-out to those single moms who are also acting in the father role.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we talked about that.
I have done that myself.
And I was raised by a single mom. Of course, my dad was, not in the house, but, very active as a dad nevertheless. This week, Florida just started talking about, they had this big press conference about the, getting fathers involved, and especially offenders when they release from prison, getting them back involved in their kids' lives because, single moms, there shouldn't be just one. It is better to have two, better to have both involved. We just, all the social science research says that. There may be particular exceptions, but in general, that's just, right. So I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I single moms, I know a lot, and I have tremendous respect for them. And, I feel for them. These moms, they have full-time jobs, and they've got 2 or 3 kids at home, and they're managing a lot, and have tremendous respect for them also. So shout out.
It's so tough. Seriously, we could have parenting with 3 people, and that'd be just about what you need these days in our economy.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's
and especially, I'll say it this way, but, working married moms, think about how hard that is, mm-hmm. right? And then to not even have the help of the other person. It's very, very difficult. Again, I was raised by, single mom, basically. So, but Juneteenth, I wanted to talk about this for a second because I didn't know about this play, Henry Box Brown, but you're actually part of the board that is overseeing the project, right?
It is so exciting. So we had a preview last night at dinner at Pensacola State College, and we saw a couple vignettes of the soon-to-be Broadway actors.
Right.
I mean, this is the last time they're going to do this show before they head to Broadway. So it's amazing. These people are incredibly talented. And the storyline is a slave mails himself in a box out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
which is a real thing.
Powerful, yeah.
Did it actually happen?
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be really powerful. So I believe there's probably still tickets available. I think they added 100 seats.
When I checked last night, and the only showing that I checked was 1 o'clock today, you could still at least register.
Okay.
And by the way, as I understand it, and if I'm wrong about this, I apologize, but the 1 o'clock showings are free. The 6:30 showings are $40, I think is how
that's
it's
right.
working.
Well, our intent was to have as many kids come and see this as possible. Mm-hmm. So we were doing free matinees Friday and Saturday.
Very cool.
And they may be full. And Friday and Saturday night, a small ticket amount to cover costs, basically, of these Broadway actors.
Right. It's amazing that this little play in Pensacola,
right.
you know, it's going to be on
and
Broadway.
It's going to be so powerful, and I think it's going to really open up discussion across the region and talk about what Equity Project Alliance has been trying to do for the last couple of years, just keep the conversation going.
Do you at the Z, Larry, do you guys do anything Juneteenth around at all?
No, but we're not opposed to that.
I mean, I don't know if you do things for events anyway, but...
Yeah, you know, we have a very diverse crowd at the Azalea, just every walk of life, and we welcome that. One of the great things about the Azalea Cocktail Lounge, which is world famous, by the way, is that it's such a diverse crowd there.
It is.
You know,
it really is.
It truly is. And we enjoy that and support that. And if you can behave at the Azalea and you've got a little bit of money and buy a drink, you're welcome. That's the
Sounds
way it
good.
Is.
I love
yeah.
it. So one of the things it's sort of in this context that I kind of wanted to talk with you guys about is it's my perception, at least maybe 2 years ago and maybe last year a little bit, that white people tend to think of Juneteenth as like it's a black holiday. At least they used to. And I'm glad to see that perception changing because to me, I'm like, this is American holiday. This is the celebration of the finally
Thank
we got
you,
the
Andrew.
Word out, you know?
Like, see, this is why I like Andrew McKay. He gets it.
and you know, I'll tell you the one funny thing is I try to do something with my boys most of the time to, you know, cook something that's going to be good. And then, of course, you run into I don't want to do like, I don't want to run afoul of some racist stereotype, but I do want to make food that's going to be, you know, appropriate food. And it seems like you almost can't win in this context. You know, like, my boys love watermelon. Do we have watermelon? I don't know. It does symbolize, but then it's watermelon. You know, do we I don't know. It just
okay, yeah, leave it at that, I think.
No, but like red soda is a very common thing. Red velvet cake is a very common thing. You know, greens are very common. I do barbecue typically, you know, some kind of barbecue, but anyway. I don't know if you guys have plans. I think it's an interesting holiday, and I love anything where white people and black people can celebrate together about something. That
Absolutely.
Makes me happy.
Absolutely.
437-1620. Got Meyer Van Hoos in studio with me. Larry B. Johnson, former city council member. I do want to talk about the election, Meyer, with you, because I think it's interesting that you have filed.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Good morning, 8:49 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the wrap on the Pensacola Morning News. That's when we have a couple of people here in studio, and we just kind of talk about the news of the week and hang out. And we don't ever have beers, as far as you know, but we would, I think. Larry, we would, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, free on the Azalea, the Azalea brand.
Which is world famous, or so I hear.
That's right. Absolutely.
And Myra Van Hoos is here with me. Myra, you just filed.
I did.
Just this week, which was, again, kind of unexpected. But I'm not going to ask you to admit to it, but I think that a Democrat to win in District 4 in Escambia County seems a little bit unlikely. But I love that you're running. I love that somebody's running. I love challengers.
Thank
I love
you.
That there's a debate and a discussion and that there's more than one perspective.
Exactly. There is a path to win. And here's the thing. You know, this region is fantastic. It's fabulous. But we all know that we have some gaps. We have achievement gaps. We have infrastructure issues. Mm-hmm. And if we keep doing the same thing and electing the same people, nothing will change. And I think generally when you talk to people, they say, yeah, we need some change. So here's the thing.
You know who else says that? Doug Underhill.
Who?
Go ahead.
You know, Doug Underhill's office called me twice. And I haven't responded yet. I'm waiting till after noon on Friday today. But, you know, at least he reached out. So here's the thing. I don't believe in unopposed candidates.
Me
and
either.
This guy would have been walking in unopposed. And I don't know if you recall, but I was president of the Institute for Women in Politics some years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you were also the campaign manager for Stephen Specht
in 2016. Yeah, a long time ago. And that's when I first realized Democrats have a problem here in Northwest Florida. But to not try and to not have the open debate and 4 or 5 months of talking about issues with candidates is a blessing and the American dream. That's what we should be doing for every election. I think it's a big failure on any political party that they don't get candidates in every single seat, every single election.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, I like multiple candidates in the primary. I don't like a huge field, but I like at least two. And I certainly like there being both parties being represented in the general election. Larry, you were a big advocate for, in fact, you, as I recall, left city council in part because you wanted to open up the chance for somebody else to run. And let's see, you were district
fourth.
So Jared Moore is now in that seat.
We encouraged Jared to run.
And that was a three-way election when he ran.
Yes, and Jared's been a great city councilman. He has done an outstanding job. He was my city councilman, but he's no longer my councilman.
Did you get moved in the redistricting?
Yes, okay. Right. So it's a different district now, but Jared's done an outstanding job, and hopefully I can talk him into running for mayor one day.
Well, you know, that seems like a path he might well be on. We'll kind of see how this...
Francie's
fabulous, too.
Activist in this, right. in this community.
But, you know, the reason I ask you is because I know you're a big believer in this, too, is get people involved in the process. You know, it's... Look, I will say this. I'll never run for office. I think I'm unelectable, you know, unless God drags me to it kicking and screaming, which is how it would have to be. But, you know, I respect anybody who runs for office because... I think running for office sucks. it's really
horrible.
Don't
tell me that now.
I tell you, it's really hard to describe the experience unless you've ran for office, and I have. But other candidates get it. But until you've put your name, you know, on the dotted line and go down and sign, it's an experience like none other. And, you know, I'll take it with me, of course, to my grave. But My political career now is just supporting good candidates, and I'm just glad to be out of it for right now.
I understand.
So, especially the way it's gotten. It's just gotten kind of really, really, really ugly. And
It doesn't have to be that way.
You're exactly
but
right.
But it seems, and, you know, apparently the experts say that that's the way you win, and that's another part of why I would have a very hard time doing it, because I can't engage that way, you know, and I would be... I just personally, it would be very hard for me to be lied about and not just every time fight back in every venue. I mean, it happens now, and I'd still like...
That's going to be tough for
me. You know, that's just challenging.
But I think, you know, so I've taught classes on how to run for office, and I've never run, so I really feel I have to do it. And I want this to be an example of how you can do it appropriately. You can point out each other's flaws, but you don't lie. You don't get... mean and dirty, but you have healthy debate, right? And things that you disagree with do come out.
And just in talking about issues, if you have to mischaracterize the position you reject or the person that you're running against, then that, to me, that makes me think you're not really fit. That you know that's, but that's common,
right.
You know. And so anyway, that'd be just
it shouldn't
challenge
be common. And let's just make sure that when people are lying, that we call them out,
right?
Because we know that we have candidates in this area that do that and have done it in prior elections.
All of our candidates everywhere who are elected anywhere close are all completely virtuous. I don't know what you mean. Anyway, so I did want to ask you to get to some somewhat news things. Yesterday, or maybe the day before, I drove Cervantes. And the what I call the border wall project, the pedestrian anti-pedestrian fencing and concrete, this has just been a boondoggle from the beginning. And now, I mean, I had heard people tell me that the little areas of the chicanes of the sidewalk where it tips out a little bit and then goes back, they had said, Andrew, you got to see this. It's crazy. And they said, look for the tire marks. And so I went, and I almost ran over them, not because I wasn't paying attention, but because who can – expect that that's coming. And if you're driving with a trailer or anything like that, and for pedestrians, Jenna's church is in that area. She says people are terrified to walk there now. So we're trying to create a pedestrian safe area, and instead we've created a liability. Am I wrong, Larry?
I think you're right. You know, it'd be interesting to see where what other communities have had this particular system, and if it works there, because I don't recall seeing this particular style anywhere else.
Well, Tallahassee has the fence, but they don't have that chicaning of the street on Tennessee Street. There's nothing like that.
Right. I don't recall any, and I'm wondering how is it working in Tallahassee? I mean, is it working well there? I mean, I don't know, but you know, I'm one of those people that believe in not reinventing the wheel, you know, and I'm not sure if this is working other places. It'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. And, of course, one of the other fascinating things about this is I saw yesterday, you know, the E and F zone where you have, you know, Addicts Court on the one side and then you have the liquor store and then you have the gas station. That's a very common place to cross. I mean, if you go down there anytime, you're going to see people cutting right through there all the time. And they put up fencing and then a pedestrian crossing. I swear I'm not kidding. There's a section of fence missing, and that's exactly where the people are continuing to walk right through.
Of course they are.
Of course.
I saw your video. Yeah, it's disturbing. But what about lighting that whole area? Are there plans to make it brighter?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know that I've driven it at night, so I'm not as familiar with...
Well, that's got to be the most dangerous time with those.
Right. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I hear that from people a lot who do drive it at night, as they say, because people jump out, walk out, there's bikes. I mean, I saw a bike going the wrong way, you know, motorized. And I know that this particular solution is not a good one. I don't know that I have a good solution, because you have the basic problem of some people who just walk across at any time, and then drivers trying to go 40 miles an hour, and I don't know how you fix that exactly. I just know this can't possibly be the right answer. So, Larry, I wanted to specifically ask you this question. I was in D.C. last week, and one of the things I saw was they have totally renovated, is it the Adirondack River? I forget. It's a river that's off the Potomac. And they've put, I mean, it's like a multi-billion-dollar project with everything, but the waterfront is a garden space, walking path, running, jogging, not like a 10-foot, you know, Gulf Breeze has the 10-foot just kind of asphalt, and it's not like that. It's innovative and different and creative, and not that there's anything wrong with the Gulf Breeze one, but what they have done with their waterfront is amazing.
Sure.
And as I was walking it, I thought, oh my God, I don't know if we can do this here, but I would love to see something like that here, where you could literally walk, jog, or bike from Community Maritime Park all the way over across Bayfront to the bridge, and just activate that waterfront. And some people have said that there have been studies on this, and they've looked at the possibilities. Nobody has taken charge of it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I would love to see us more connected to the water. In downtown Pensacola, I'd love to see more activity down there. Even our creek, you know, Carpenter's Creek, there was recently some articles about it in the News Journal about some improvements there. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago that we didn't embrace Carpenter's Creek and do a lot of things on it, which is the main source of clean water in Bayou Dahar, which I'm fortunate enough to live on. But you know, I would love to see us connect to the waterway a lot more than we do downtown. I agree with you that we've spent thousands, the citizens of Pensacola, the taxpayers have spent thousands of dollars on these different studies, but they haven't been implemented, and it's unfortunate. And I love the water. It's one of the reasons I'll never leave Pensacola, Florida.
I know.
I mean, I'm here.
It's calming. It's invigorating. It's beautiful. It's a way to, you know, place make and have people connect to each other. I mean, it's wonderful. Myra Van Hoos and Larry B. Johnson, as always, thank you guys for coming in, and good luck, Myra.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News.